Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you. And I don't know what you think about it, but as I've been reading and rereading this portion of 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, I'm more and more convicted of the fact that each one of us have a particular place to fill in the body of Christ, in the church, which is His body. Every believer in Christ has been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We've all been made to drink of that self-same Spirit. In other words, when the Lord Jesus saved you and me, He put us into the body, the church, and He put us in the best place where we can function to glorify Him, to build up the body of Christ, and to edify other believers. It's what we've been dealing with here in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The Spirit of God is sovereign in the bestowal of gifts. He gives to each one severally as He wills. And then He puts us in the body as it hath pleased Him, as you have it in verse 18. And then in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And we've been dealing with that. And the question of the church, which is one body, verses 12 to 31. We had our entrance into that body, verses 12 to 13, baptized into the body of Christ. See, I came into the family of God by the new birth, like you have it in John's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse 10. He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. The world rejected its Creator. The Jews rejected their Messiah. What will God do? He's going to bring in something entirely new, a new family, a new race of people. To as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name, who are born out of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but are born of God. Something new. Now we got into that family by the new birth. We received life. But now in Corinthians, He's talking about something else. He's talking about the church, an organism, made up of a company of redeemed sinners, and each one has a particular place to function. That's why He gives gifts. Now, the charisma, gifts, not one gift, not one special gift, but all the gifts. And we had a list of them. And then He took the body as an illustration that every one of us have a place to function. If I'm only a joint, I must lubricate. And as I've been saying, we need a lot of joints. My body, my physical body, has a lot of joints, all kinds of them. I've never counted them, scores of them. And if they didn't function, if only one of them didn't function, it would affect the whole body in its functioning. So in the body of Christ, whether you take the whole body of Christ or take the local assembly, the church to which you belong, I don't care what the name of it is, if you love the Savior, and Christ is the center of attraction. Each one helps. We build up the body of Christ. What for? That there be no schism, no division in the body. In verse 25, there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Well, this goes right down to your vitals, doesn't it? We have to have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all members are honored. The way you rejoice with it. And each one are members in particular. I'm going over this again because it's so needful today. It's so needful. If it was needed in the Corinthian church, where one said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm this, I'm that, and the other thing, they were all divided up. Is the body of Christ divided? The trouble is we're not functioning. And some people say, well, there's no church I can go to. I go to the church of the air. There's no such thing as the church of the air. See, when I go to the television, I enjoy somebody's service in television. You're not one with them. Hebrews chapter 10:25 says, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the coming of the Lord for His own. Time is very, very short. You see, well, the church can't give anything to me. Well, maybe you should give something to the church. You go there and meet with God's people. Encourage some of these discouraged ones. Who knows the suffering among God's people? And when one suffers, all suffer. When I think of some local assemblies that have been torn to pieces, breaks your heart. I wonder how it does with the Savior. He must be greatly grieved. God's people fighting one with another when they should be ministering one to the other. And when one suffers, all suffer. If you see some child of God suffering, don't say, it's coming to her. It's coming to her. Uh-uh. Suffer with her. If they're in sorrow, weep with them. If they rejoice, rejoice with them. If you're only a joint, lubricate. Keep things moving, and God deliver you and me from a bitter spirit. Now let me finish that chapter, may I? From verse 25 right on down through, we've been talking about the reason why we should work together, that there be no division. From verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Don't pick out one and say you must have this one. Or that one? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. We've just been talking about this question of the intimate relationship of believers, one with the other. Members in particular, every one of us is special with God. Oh, I wish I could get that into your heart. Every believer is special with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you did, you wouldn't say to me, you know, Mr. Mitchell, I'm the weakest of God's children. I don't have any gifts. Don't you say that. You've got a special place in the body of Christ. In fact, I would say every believer, the strong ones and the weak ones, the mature ones and the babes, the spiritual ones and the carnal ones, yes, every believer is special with God. He loved you enough to die for you. And he leaves you down here to minister, to work, to serve in the body of Christ. Even if you're just a joint. Huh? You're special with him. Listen to where it says, now you, all believers, are the body of Christ, and members in particular, you're all special. And then you have the relative position of the gifts. Now, I don't know whether Paul was meaning that the best gift to be an apostle and then a prophet and then a teacher and then miracles. I question very much whether that's in Paul's mind. And yet, we can't but realize that some of these gifts are certainly more important in the body of Christ than others. And if you're going to seek any gift at all, you seek the best ones. And yet he said, I show you a more excellent way. Let me close this passage with saying, all are in the body of Christ for edification, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And we see God working in his church through its members. He doesn't send angels down here. He doesn't send an angel. No, no. The Spirit of God has come to indwell you. To take the things of Christ and show them unto you, he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit does that through the Word. And the more I see that, the more I'm concerned about God's people. When one suffer, all suffers. You know, I wish there were more real pastors suffering with God's people. But you can do that. See, that's the pastor's job. No, it can be yours too. You can be a helper. You can be a joint. So when one, you find some of God's people suffering, having a tough time, in sorrow, discouraged, disheartened, ready to give up everything, feel they're not wanted. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel that way in your assembly? You feel you're not wanted. Listen to some of you people. Do you know why they don't feel wanted? Because nobody loves them. Nobody comes along and encourages them. We're too quick to judge. We're too quick to be sarcastic and to be cynical, judging everybody by the light of your conscience instead of the Word of God. What they need is help. They need some helpers. You can be a help. That's what it says here. And all teachers do all have helps. Governments, administrations, and so on. Listen, friend, if you love the Savior and the body of Christ, and you've got a special place, you're special to Him. If you're not special to anybody else, you're special to Him. And you can be a real, real, real servant of the Lord by being a helper. You may not have public gifts. May God give you public gifts, but maybe He hasn't. You can be an intercessor. You can be a helper. And now he says, Paul, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And we come now to the governing of the gifts in chapter 13. I think if there's any chapter in the Bible people know, at least they think they know, it's chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And here you have the governing of the gifts by love. This is the more excellent way. That which is of more value than even all the gifts of the Spirit. And here in this chapter we have that love abides, love's value, the value of love, the action of love, the eternity of love. Ah, no wonder. God is love. That's the very essence of His being. Now let me read these first three verses. The value of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. The value of love. Remember, the very essence of the heart of God, the very essence of His being is love. Well, isn't God righteous? Yes. Isn't He holy? Yes. All through your Old Testament, you have what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and holy is His name. He's the Lord of hosts. He speaks and it's done. We understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of His mouth. So one could speak of His majesty. We could speak of His glory. We could speak of His omniscience, of His omnipotence, of His might, of His sovereignty. But you know the last revelation of God in the Bible? God is love. You find that in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16. God is love. In the first two chapters, you have that God is light, absolute in holiness. In chapter 3, God is righteous. Hebrews chapter 12, the last two or three verses, our God is a consuming fire. That's His judgments. But when you come to chapter 4, this is the message. God is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. We should love one another, for God is love. We love Him because He first loved us. The very essence of the very nature of God, the very heart of God, is love. I tell you, my friend, it's this want of love among God's people reveals the fact we are not real disciples of the Savior. You remember in John 15? Pardon me. In John 13. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. God is love. If I claim to be joined to God, related to God, that He's my Father, He's my Lord, He's my Savior, that I belong to Him, the evidence of that must be love. That's why He says, covet earnestly the best gifts, but I show you a more excellent way, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm nothing. You know, I was just thinking of Romans chapter 5, 6 to 10. I couldn't help but bow my heart before Him. My, I say God is love. How did He demonstrate that? My, how He must love you and me. How He must love sinners. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Oh, the marvel of it. The marvel of it. You can't even fathom it. We accept what He tells us. How can the world, can you fathom infinite love? The fifth verse of that same chapter, chapter 5 of Romans, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. Though I speak with the tongues of men, though I speak with the tongues of angels and have not love, I'm nothing else but an empty tin can. Or as He says here, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, empty noise. I don't care how much you speak. You say you speak with tongues of angels, how do you know you do? See, well, it says there, Paul is just saying, though I speak with the tongues of men. And when you come to the book of Acts, when they spoke in tongues, they spoke in the languages of men. They heard in their own dialect the wonderful works of God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm nothing. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith to remove mountains, boy, wouldn't you like to have all that? The gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, all spiritual knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, have not love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Boy, I'll tell you, it really gets down, doesn't it? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, though I become a martyr and have not love, profiteth me nothing. You see, friend, love is conformity to the very nature of God. Love is the living expression to the world of what God is. And one may have all the gifts of the Spirit, but they're valueless. If there's no love, there's no love. My friend, you don't have to go very far to see this. I've had men who have a great knowledge of the Bible, good preachers, cold as clams, no love. I've even heard evangelists. They're not manifesting love. Well, I've seen arrogancy and pride and everything else stick out like sore thumbs. No love. No love. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I be a martyr for the doctrine that I believe, if I have no love, it's nothing. I'm telling you, my friend, here we have this chapter, the 30th, and the chapter of Corinthians, one of the most marvelous pieces of literature in the world. And I confess, it's very, very difficult for any man to get down and give to you the depth of what the Spirit of God gives to us in chapter 13. And what I want to see and what you want to see as children of God among His people is love, love. You can have all the gifts, and they're empty. There's no love. I may come with the gospel of the grace of God to a sinner, and my very attitude turns him off. Why? No love for him. No love for him. The thing that breaks men down is love. I remember dear old Brother Bach, who used to be the head of the Evangelical Alliance Mission, giving his testimony how he was saved. He was in communism in Copenhagen. A man on the street gave him a tract. Brother Bach took the tract and tore it in pieces, threw it on the ground. And when he turned around to see the man, he was stood in the doorway of his store with the tears running down his cheeks because Bach had torn the tract up in pieces. And this broke Bach's heart. This man must really care for me. And he went down and picked up all the pieces of paper of the tract on the ground. Picked them all up. Went to his own room. Pasted them all together. Read the tract on his knees and was saved. Became one of God's great missionaries to South America. What broke his heart? The love of a man for him. How wonderful. This man, Jesus, receives sinners and eateth with them. He's the friend. They accuse him of being the friend of publicans and sinners. Well, they manifest real, genuine love. And though I have all the gifts of the Spirit and have no love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm talking about the value of love. May the Lord bless you today. Read the book, read that chapter through, will you? Read it through over and over again. And I'll talk to you about it in our next lesson. The Lord bless you. Amen.